Hi everyone, and welcome to N3 Perform Radio episode 4. Today I have a clip of my chat with Andrew Chappelle. He is a pro natural bodybuilder who has been training and competing for over 10 years, a 5-time British champion with the British Natural Bodybuilding Federation. He has also judged physique contests for over 10 years and regularly competes in strongman and powerlifting events. On top of all that, he holds a PhD and is a doctor of nutrition and a published author. Whew. So he gives us some insight into his mindset techniques and strategies that he uses during his training and just generally what keeps him pumped up to keep succeeding and pushing forward. Before we listen to that, I wanted to just recap over an episode that I did last week. It was titled, "If You Are a Repeat Dieter, You Need to Hear This." I wanted to do an episode that could relate to many people, and I got a really great response. I had some lovely messages from people saying that a lot of the things that I said had resonated with them and that they were going to be putting in place the mindset strategies that I discussed, and that they were looking forward to that as well. So that's a really positive thing. I am going to be doing more in the future, so don't worry. And if there's anything that you would like me to cover specifically, then please just email me at isla@n3perform.com. So let's listen to Andrew. What would you say keeps you going? Like, how do you get into that frame of mind that you want to be able to push yourself that to that extent each time?
Oh yeah, that's a big question. Yeah, gosh, I mean, it's not an easy question to come by. And I would say, yeah, it's completely mindset and its totality. So I mean, when I look at the bodybuilders, the strongmen, the powerlifters that I've met down the years, the big thing that separates the cans from the cannots, the winners from the also runs, is what they have between their ears. So it is that mentality. And if you can put that mentality together with some sort of aptitude for some sort of lifting, then you'll make all the difference. And it's the same when it comes to any sort of weight loss regime, or I guess if you want to be successful in your own business, you have to have it, the mindset, otherwise you're not going to get to where you want to go. For me, I mean, I'm highly motivated. I mean, I've been doing this like my whole adult life, so it's almost completely second nature to me in a lot of the things that I do in terms of preparing meals to get myself ready every single day, in terms of just going to the gym and just going, because I love doing it, but it's just the habits that I'm into. So I already have all these sort of good habits in place to maximize everything that I possibly want to do. In terms of tips, but yeah, it comes down to sort of breaking things down into sort of different little goals. So I mean, if I say I'm going to do Scotland's Strongest Man, or I'm going to compete in the British finals this year to do a pro class, that's a huge goal. I mean, it's a massive, massive goal. And then that, you could probably compare it to something like, say, climbing Mount Everest if you want. So you're saying, right, okay, that's a 29,000 plus foot mountain. And on the surface of that, if you just say, I'm going to climb that, and you don't set any goals to try and get there, then there's no chance you're going to be able to sort of do these things. So you have to break things down into much smaller chunks. So you might say, okay, well, before I do that mountain, then I've got to be able to climb, say, 10 smaller mountains at 20,000 foot.
Yeah.
But before that, I'm probably going to have to start with doing maybe a couple of 5,000 ones, and I'm probably going to have to aim for maybe 3 Munros a month at least as well to start with. And a Munro is something that's about 3,000 feet as well. And then eventually I'm going to have to get to the stage where I'm going to have to be climbing ones that are about 15,000 feet and going on at least a couple of expeditions a year that are lasting like 3 weeks at a time to get me to that level where I can actually tackle that large goal, which is the climbing the Everest.
Yeah.
And the same applies when it comes to the bodybuilding shows, when it comes to the strongman sort of stuff. You set yourself these sort of smaller daily goals to be able to sort of get these things. So for me, it's a case of, right, okay, well, if I want to be the best athlete I can possibly be, then I need to know that I'm going to probably have to eat every couple of hours. I'm probably going to have to consume enough high quality protein every couple of hours. I need to make sure that I'm eating enough fruit and vegetables because I need to get my vitamins and minerals. I need to make sure I'm eating enough water because I need to be hydrated. And all these sort of things come first. And I know if I sort of hit these things every single day, day after day, then my training is going to be really, really on point because that's going to give me enough fuel so that I can do what I need to do in the training session so I can progress, so I can lift those slightly heavier weights every single session, and then I can recover every single session from this. And for me, my training's so fine-tuned that if I miss a lift in the gym, then it's 9 times out of 10 because I've probably not eaten enough that day or my sleep's not been good enough the night before. And I can pinpoint it down to this. So I have to say to myself, right, okay, every single day the goal's got to be make sure you eat enough because I can't have it compromise my training. Because if I have too many sessions where it's compromised, then in a month I've not got enough quality training under my belt. Then come say 6 months down the line when I've done the bodybuilding show, I can say, well, actually the reason I didn't do as well as I wanted to do is because I've missed too many meals. Of not had enough sleep, I didn't hit the goals that I set in terms of my training. So it's all about seeing if you can break these things down into smaller and smaller chunks. I developed the sort of really good habits of training in the gym first because I really enjoyed it. I mean, I wanted to improve how I looked, and I went, you're talking, you'd be 17-year-old, 18-year-olds, and your friends are going out the weekend, and you want to eat different foods, and you want to have pizza and stuff like this as well, but you can't always be as stringent. So sometimes you're, say, maybe eating 3 or 4 times a week really well, but another 3 days not so well. And you can kind of get away with that for a period of time. And then you have to sort of rein it in a little bit and say, okay, well, the next goal is to try and eat well for the 50, then try and eat well 6 days a week. And then maybe say, okay, well, I'm going to eat well 6 days a week, but give myself maybe 2 cheat meals on that 7th day, so I'm eating well on these other days. So it's about putting the puzzle together in stages, little bits at a time. Because if you try to say something to someone, okay, we're gonna overhaul the whole thing and say, right, we're going to train like this, we're going to eat like this, we're going to supplement like this, and we're going to sleep like this, there's no way I would have been able to sort of do any of that sort of stuff. So it was just that sort of slow, casual things along the way doing it. And you're going to fall off the bandwagon as well at points, but that's okay. That's no big deal. As long as you realize that you've maybe not been as stringent as you could have been, and that you maybe need to get back on with it, then that's no big deal. It's just as long as you don't make these sort of falling off the bandwagons a sort of habit all the time, then you're not going to hamper your progress. So I know many young bodybuilders, like teen bodybuilders, who'd be doing what I would be doing back then now. And I often say to them, okay, you need to don't worry about just going on the occasional night out. You need to have a break. You need to enjoy your life. And I would do this from time to time as well. I would allow myself to go and have a treat or to go out with someone or go out with a family or something like that. And that's what kind of keeps you sane, I guess. And that you, because it's very hard for following a lifestyle like that all the sort of time, and you definitely get burnout. So it's, you need to know when to take the foot off the gas. And that's something that I've learned down the years as I've got a little bit older, and it's probably allowed me to stay in the sport of bodybuilding much more than a lot of other people. Because if you talk to most bodybuilders, you find that they compete for about 3 years, 4 years, and then they're done because they've just burned themselves out. So it's you have to, it's something that I've learned over the years to give myself a little bit of time and say, okay, well, if I want to have some food, then I'm going to have some food. If I want to go out with friends and have a drink, then I'll go and have a drink. It doesn't mean I have to go out and get absolutely bloated and binge drink or anything like that. But it's interesting because the pressures you have on yourself when you're younger are quite different to when you're older. If you have want to go out for a drink when you're older, then people won't scrutinize you as much and say, okay, you have to go out and drink as much as you can. People respect the fact that you're only going to go out for one or two, and you might have to take your car or something like this. And I had some really good mentors. And once I sort of got myself in the inner circle of bodybuilding, I deliberately tried to seek these people out because I wanted to surround myself with the best possible people I could. So I wasn't really interested in hanging about with like the regional champion, I wanted to hang out with like the overall British champion or something like that, or find the guy that ran his own supplement company who was really successful businessman as well, and take something from them and realize that these people are really hardworking. They've got these sort of single-minded, and actually, in a lot of cases, they don't really care what other people think, really, because they've got their own goals in mind. And I guess a little bit of that rubbed off on me, and I was like, well, do you know what? I mean, my goals are this. I don't care if you don't respect my goals, but these are my goals, and if you want to go out and get drunk at your weekend, then that's fine on you, but I'm not going to. I'm going to do this because it's more important to me doing that. I mean, one thing you probably talked about in your previous podcast with your mindset coach is surrounding yourself with positive people in social circles. So lose the naysayers, people that say that you can't achieve things or that you're worthless or whatever, or people that are really, really negative, and surround yourself with positive, well-meaning people that can help you get to where you want to get to, I guess, is something to take from that. It's important that you also have a little bit of a pinch of realism there and as well at the same time. So you have to realize, okay, well, if I want to lose weight, if I want to build muscle or lift a particular thing, you have to say, okay, well, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging, and it's not going to be a cakewalk as well. I mean, so be positive about it, but realize that, okay, it's not just going to happen. Yeah. Because if it's going to happen, then everyone could do it. Yeah. This is why things like weight loss is so challenging. I mean, I have to get myself in the zone to prepare myself for the contest. And that can be one of two things. So we talk about this idea of the inverted U anxiety model. So if you can recall all the way back to your psychology, sports psychology, Ayla, then if you imagine an upside down U, and at the top of that U, we've got peak performance. And then somewhere in that model, you've got, okay, well, if I don't get psyched up enough, then I'm not going to reach the pinnacle of that U. But on the other side of things, I could be too psyched. So I need to calm myself down to actually reach that sort of peak performance as well. So I find it really depends on the situation, but I'm very aware of it. And if I need to calm myself down, then that will usually consist of doing maybe some breathing exercises to calm myself down, to chill myself out, so I don't burn a lot of nervous energy. Put my feet up, try and relax, and normally put on some music while I'm doing these.
Okay, music.
So something like classical music works really well.
Or really?
Really soft, chilled, mellow rock music, something like that, yeah. So I like a little bit of classical music for chilling myself out. But then the other thing, that's probably more useful, I think, when it comes to things like the bodybuilding shows, I think, for me, actually. When it comes to sometimes I'm going for the actual training itself, then I do the opposite. I sort of get myself psyched up. So this starts with sort of preparing myself well in advance for the training session. So it starts with knowing that I'm going to train. I've got my pre-training rituals where I eat my meals and stuff like this. I might go on and I'll look at some articles on training, or look up some bodybuilders or strongmen or something on YouTube. I don't even really need to be potentially taking anything in terms of actual any information or anything like that. I just need to be browsing it and just get myself in the mindset of motivating myself to want to go and train. And then I go in my car or I walk to the gym or whatever, and the music's different. I'm listening to like heavy metal music, or I'm listening to hard dance, something just really with a high beats per minute sort of track. And then when I'm in the gym, I'm very, very focused. I mean, I'll come in, I'll say hello to the receptionist, I'll say hello to the guys in the gym, but after that, I train with a stopwatch, Ayla, and between my sets, I'm having a minute, I'm having 2 minutes, I'm very, very focused. And then in between the sets, I'm thinking about, okay, I need to lift the next set. I'm visually and mentally rehearsing this in my head, myself lifting the weight. I'm imagining how heavy it's going to be in my hands, or how heavy it's going to be on my shoulders. I've got various injuries, so I know how sore it's going to be when it comes in my back. I know it's going to be crushing me into the ground, and that the weight's going to be so heavy that it might be potentially like I've been punched in the face and I see stars or this sort of thing. But then I know I've lifted it before. I've designed my training program specifically to reach these goals. I've lifted these weights in previous weeks. I've got supreme confidence that I'm going to lift it, but I know it's going to be really, really challenging. So, and I've rehearsed it in my head. I've rehearsed the challenge, but I've achieved it and I've pushed through. So when I go under the bar, I've already fought a lot of my demons or anything like this that's been in the way. And then I go under the bar or I lift a weight or whatever, and then I nail it, and I've got supreme confidence at that sort of point from there. So there's a few little strategies that I would do in terms of getting myself ready for competition. Slightly different when I competed at the weekend when I pulled that 280 kilogram deadlift. What I did before that was, because I had a lot of adrenaline going at the time and it was competitive at the same time, and I was going for a new personal best. There's a big buzz, and I think there's definitely a little element, and your rugby players will say this, that you can probably perform at a higher level when it's a game or whatever, and I noticed this from doing strongman competitions. But anyway, yeah, what I did was I just basically headbutted the bar as hard as I could, Ayla, to really psych myself up and get really angry, because it was sore after that, and that sort of gave me like this primeval urge to reach the peak of that inverted U on that occasion and then lift the weight. So it's very specific, I think, to the circumstance, and being aware that you don't always need to scream and shout to get yourself riled up for this, and at other times you need to calm yourself down as much as you possibly can to reach that peak as well, is an important thing to sort of remember. So there's a few little things that I do anyway when I'm getting ready for a competition or event or something like that. So there are a few different things you can use. Famously, Flex Wheeler is a great example, a famous bodybuilder who competed from the early 90s right up to the noughties. I think he was Mr. Olympia runner-up 4 times, so that's the biggest bodybuilding contest you can ever win. A fantastic physique. Anyway, so he used to say that when he would do his bodybuilding shows, he would turn up at the events and he would wear all his clothing in his room, and he didn't want to look at his own physique because he wasn't happy with it. So, and that he wasn't really confident with how he looked compared to the other people. But when he went on stage, he had such confidence, and he said what he would do is he would almost become an actor, he would say. So he would sort of project this character, and this is what he would become when he would go on stage. He would become this sort of actor and be really extrovert and be able to be this confident sort of person, even though on the inside he would say that I was absolutely terrified, I just played this part.
Had a great chat there with Andrew. I would say the main point that I took away was the significance of visualization and imagery when achieving your goals. We'll actually be discussing a bit more in detail about that over the next few weeks. In the meantime, thanks for listening and speak to you soon. Bye bye.